This is episode 183 of the Chattering Classes. I'm talking with my brother. That is brother Jason. He's the middle one. Yes, the middle one. And might as well just get straight into it. Would you prefer I could turn my camera off and I could be a monkey?
As much of a muchness. You can be a monkey if you want to. I don't mind.
That always helps. You
Oh,
stop
there
the
you
viewer.
go.
Here I am.
Bloody hell, it's Randy Savage.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Lancelot Linkers. Randy Savage, hang on. My internet connection is unstable. Just give me a sec to fiddle faddle around with that. I'm pretending. Like I'm in an 80s movie.
Yes.
Punch
Take
in
your
this
pick.
code.
Are we talking early 80s frat boy party with lots
Yeah,
of
just
breasts and
hacker.
things?
There needs to be a hacker coming into it.
Yes.
Yes. Now, you've got two young boys. What? How are you going to explain to them? We've already started. How are you going to explain to them the 80s movie tropes of spying on women who are either partially undressed or showering as part of like a this? How are you going to explain that one away, do you think?
Well, you just say you don't have to explain anything. The boys will watch it eventually and they'll say, "Why don't they do that in movies these days?"
I mean, it depends how old they are when they watch it, but yeah, I guess if you show that to them now, they'd be like, "Well, I don't see the problem. This movie's great."
You'd want something like, "This is unbelievable." That's the sort of response you'd sort of want.
Yeah, can you imagine? Like, all right, what if I sit down with my girls and go, "I'm going to watch a movie that I loved when I was growing up. It's called Revenge of the Nerds. Let's watch it." They're just going to call the police.
Oh, that's great. That you'd probably want, I don't know, you'd have to think, well, if you're going to do the girls in their sorority house or nude it up, you'd have to do the opposite as well.
Yes, you would
So you
have to,
have
without a doubt.
Timothy Busfield finding out that his ginger pubes are in the same style as his hair.
Oh, wow. Timothy Busfield. Great reference. I thought you were going to say Timothy Bottoms. He was another
No, Timothy
favorite.
Busfield. Who else? Curtis Booger Armstrong.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
We love Curtis. So I was listening to a podcast that was talking about 1982 films. I think they might have been talking about Raiders of the Lost Ark.
I think you find that's probably closer to 81.
Well, this is, maybe it came out in 81 and made still lots of money. No, June 12th, 1982. Anyway,
There you go.
so the movie Porky's, great film featuring lots of naked women. What a great podcast this is already.
I
Featuring lots
can't
of,
really remember. I don't think I ever saw Porky's.
I don't. Again, it's one of those things that I was like, no, like. Revenge of the Nerds was more our movie.
Yeah.
Porky's was day. Anyway, can you guess where Porky's finished in the box office for the year? I'll give you top 20. I'll give you a guess.
1982, you mean?
Yep, 1982
Well,
box office. Where did Porky's finish in the top 20?
I don't know, but E.T. would be number one, I'd be guessing.
Yeah, E.T. on a long
I
way.
reckon Porky's would have to be, or be top five at least, surely.
You just out. We're a good guess. It finished sixth, and
Hang on a sec.
it played in more theaters. Oh, that's incredible. It played in more theaters than Raiders of the Lost Ark, Rocky III, On Golden Pond, and Officer and the Gentleman. He
Well,
was
see,
everywhere.
if Belloc got his tits out in Raiders, then there wouldn't have been a problem.
Oh, Belloc, what a gentleman.
I mean, even E.T. was getting around in the nude.
That man could wear a nice suit, couldn't he? A nice white suit.
It's in the desert of all places.
Absolutely. Bit of early Alfred Molina as well.
Oh, yes.
Now, Firefox is in
Glasses.
there too. I don't even know. Anyway, I'll move off. Let's move off nudies for a while, shall we?
Well,
you know,
fair.
we'll get there. I wanted to I asked you if you wanted to be on the podcast. What was the number one thing I said we were going to talk about?
I think you said we'll talk about Jaws,
yeah,
having a 50-year-old brother,
yeah,
Boxing Day memories and pants.
Pants, yes, always pants. Yeah, I wanted just to talk to you about how good Jaws is. I'm sure that's a easy conversation to have with you, but also the fact that I showed it to the girls. Violet had already seen it, but to sit down with Noelle and Violet on a cold winter's night and put Jaws on was absolutely tremendous. We've watched a couple of old movies. We watched Ghost a few weeks ago.
Yes. I've been following your Letterboxd ramblings.
They did find Ghost like really very engrossing. The pottery scene, the famous pottery scene, just howls of laughter.
Yeah, well, I guess if you're going to have a group of university girls with no clothes on, if they're doing pottery, it might be so hilarious that you won't realize that it's rather,
they were crap. Smart enough to know exactly what was going on, what was being implied, and they just were falling out of their chairs hilariously. I was like, ridiculous.
Make things rather gritty, though.
Yeah, but anyway, so they did enjoy Ghosts, but then we sat down to watch Jaws, and like, how does this movie? It's 50 years old, right? 50 years old this year, or thereabouts.
Next year or something.
How did this movie work so well? It's unbelievable.
I think at the time Spielberg was a genius.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just did. It just completely flipped everything on its head. Like, was it first movie to crack $100 million or something?
Yeah, and it made, over $300 million or something like that. It was just huge.
It's just terrifying. It's just very raw and very primal. And thank God the damn shark didn't work, because it could just be written off these days. Oh yeah, it was all right, but
yeah, that's the thing, right? If it was a okay or a good shark for 1974, then it would look ridiculous now. But now, because you don't never see it, it just still works.
I think it does a good job of creating the sense of just power.
That's
and
a good
speed
word.
And all that,
yeah,
or everything that it would have. It's,
yeah, and anytime you do see it, the fins and everything like that, it is moving, and you can see the size of it without it having to bite anyone on camera. But then how does that work? How do you make a movie so that when the shark does turn up looking as stupid as it does, it doesn't completely fall apart? Even now, even though for the girls, by the time the shark appears, by the time Bruce turns up, gumming his way through everything, they didn't laugh. It's not like Ghosts. They didn't go, oh, this is funny. They were like, oh, my God, that's horrifying. That man got eaten in half.
I think the editing has a lot to do with it. You see a few of the outtakes, and yeah, the shark's pretty clunky and rubbery, and it's got the old gums going. If you see the unedited shots, it still looks shit, but just with the editing and the sound design they do with it, I think it just gets it over the line. Plus, nobody wants to be eaten by something they can't see. So it just taps into that straight away, and that's pretty much what carries it. You lie in the bathtub and think of the Jaws music, and you'd be like, I think I might get out.
Well, Noelle did say, like, will this freak me out when I go to the beach? And me, Justine, and Violet all said, yes.
Yes. So, yes, not the best movie to think about when you go to the beach.
I said, next time you're at the beach, all it'll take is just one of us, or in your own head, just to think of the theme. And
if it used a theme for all the Archers, it'd probably be more like the giant codfish episode of the Goodies. What was it? Back's Bygrave song or something.
That's right.
They I know Michael sing... knows what it's called.
God, yeah. The I guess so. Yeah, it's the music and it's the like you said, the editing of it, the way it's shot. One thing Excuse me. One thing that Juz and I noticed watching it this time was, why are the parents in the movie so old?
Oh, yes. Yeah, they
So
are.
the little 8-year-old boy gets chomped at the beach on his floaty thing. And his parents look like they're in their 50s or 60s.
Yeah, that's true.
And then later on, they're at the beach and no one's going in the water. And the is it the mayor? He turns up and he's like, come on, take your family in the water. And there they look older. They look like they're in their late 60s.
I always thought it would just be they were like grandparents or grandkids. But
so did I. But when they.
Mum, I think she just got it because she is just such a badass and she was just so good.
She was very good. But I did. Jazz and I were talking about it. We think maybe Spielberg, like a genius, like you said, but maybe he was just like, I need parents. Huh. How old are my parents? Oh, they're in their 50s. That's how old parents are. It's just
probably.
Really weird to watch back and go, I mean, the woman looks old, but her husband looks like he's in his 70s or 80s.
Yeah,
It's
that's
really
right. And
odd.
I'm trying to soak up some of this sun, you know.
I mean, maybe, yes, exactly. Maybe.
I think how old Spielberg was, what, 24 or something?
Yeah, that's what I
I'm
thought.
guessing
Maybe
he
he's.
didn't. I'm guessing he didn't have kids at that time.
No.
But I think that's the best. That's probably the best thing for it. He doesn't have kids, you know.
Yes.
Kids can change you and mess you up. So
Yeah,
he's just
I
like,
don't know.
he can eat. Yeah, he'd feed 1,000 children to it. If he'd made it when he'd had children,
yeah.
he'd probably, like, if he had had kids when he made Jurassic Park, those kids are getting munched. And
Oh,
I'm
that's
all
a
for it.
good point. That's, yeah. Yeah. That would have been great. That is true, actually. Yeah, that's a great observation. It's 20 years later. They would have got munched in that car, wouldn't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have.
Old Newman, he would have been feeding them
Or
raptor.
Newman could have munched the kids.
Oh, God.
Newman
Isn't
could
it
have eaten
great?
the
It's great to
kids.
see Newman. Great to see
Oh.
Newman in Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Just being Newman. He's slimy man. Poor Wade
Oh.
Knight. It's
I
always
always liked
Newman.
the fact that when Jerry Seinfeld was ever asked, why do you hate Newman? He goes, if you have to ask that question, you don't know anything about Newman.
Yeah, he's a one of a kind. So you, like you're talking about, like you've seen, been catching up with Letterboxd, but you've got Jaws down as your favorite. Have you shown it to your kids?
I haven't. I mean, that's my favorite of all time. That's like, you know, the old gun to the head if you had to pick something. But it's
Yeah.
not a hard choice for me.
Yeah.
I haven't shown it to the boys because I'm not that much of a sociopath. But
Yeah.
Mary, their mum did put it on for them a few years ago. Milo was only like 6 or something.
Oh my God.
Leo was traumatized. Milo called me up and would just told me the entire movie in about 5 minutes at height.
Right.
And I remember Mary saying to me, oh, I think Aquaman was a bit violent for the boys. And I said, you showed them Jaws. And her response was, yes, but it was made in the 70s.
Oh, right. Yes. But
So
as
it's
you.
like, I mean, I could probably, I'd pop Leo's what, nearly 12, and Milo's about nearly 10. So they could probably deal with it, you know, a little better. But one thing I found with the boys, we've seen Predator and we've seen
Wow.
Alien versus Predator because it's just ridiculous. And it's,
Mm.
if you did Alien or Aliens, forget it. No one's sleeping for a week.
No, that's right. That's one I really can't wait to.
Yeah.
Like, come
But
on.
I found that with my, I got a whole bunch of special effects books and there's a big fat one on Stan Winston and things.
Yeah,
And
right.
we watch Terminator 2 whenever something happened. Milo'd say, oh, that's in the book. And he'd flick through it and find it. So there's
Right.
that sort of looking at the effects and the creatures and all that sort of stuff, I think probably helps take the edge off some of the
Yeah, I guess.
messed up
I
side of
mean,
it, I think.
yeah, but you're right though. You can watch those effects, but I don't know if Jaws really lets you get away with it, right? Like you can't. I don't know. Like you said, there's something very primal in the force and the just the music, the combination of it. Plus, like. like you said, nobody wants to get eaten by a shark in any way. Isn't it weird though, like how the movie's like two movies? Like it's all set at the beach and then they're going out to get it, and all of a sudden it's just like this boy's adventure.
Yes, even the music. It's a horror movie, then an adventure movie,
yeah,
and then comes back to horror towards the end, I guess.
The music when they're heading out to sea is like, this is very strange. Like it's from
this
the wrong
is
movie.
Fun.
Yeah, it's fun. Like, hey, we're on an adventure, and then but again, yeah.
I guess one of the things that, like, all the things coming together, I think for me the best scene in it, and yeah. I'm forever sad that it no longer has an effect on me, is the guy getting chased by the wharf.
Oh, yep.
If you really want to see how effective that music is,
yeah,
because the music's there under the surface, and then the wharf it's a wharf. That's all you see is the wharf. The
being
wharf
chased by
turns
a wharf.
Around, and as it starts to head back in the shore, the music cranks up.
Right.
And your buttocks tighten up at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah,
But
it's
yeah, without
just...
it, it's just, it's a ridiculous. That man got to chase down by a wharf.
Yes, he's getting chased by bare timber.
That's what the mayor says. No, it wasn't a shark. Don't have to worry. Don't call shark. He was attacked by a
I
wharf.
love
That
the
was
mayor.
the witness. Yeah, he's great. He is
There's a
great.
scene, I know, one of my favorite, there's a deleted scene in Jaws 2 where they vote to fire Chief Brody.
Right.
From his, you know, they fire him as chief of police and they vote on it. And they say all for the vote, and three of them put up their hand and they say all against. And Mayor Vaughn puts his hand up. He doesn't want to get rid of him. And it's like, they should have kept that in, because it's like, it just says so much for him as a character.
Yeah. Yeah. But he's too busy just, you know, wearing his
Wearing
white suits.
blazer jackets with anchors on them.
He's a strange man. So
I have
you,
two movies that I consider my Buster Brown collection. Jaws
yeah,
is one of them, strung up by their Buster Browns,
yes,
and
that's
Drop
right.
Dead Fred. Real
Yeah,
burglars. Yes, the kind that wear stripy sweaters and Buster Browns.
they do enjoy Buster Brown, don't they? That,
Yes.
but so after we watched the movie, that was the as an English teacher, I did send this to you. As an English teacher, my joy was we finished watching Jaws and again, like the Indianapolis speech, just will quieten any room. Like it's unreal. Just doesn't matter. Everyone just went silent, of course. But the movie finished and Violet said, yeah, are the sharks metaphors in that bit? And I was like, in what bit? She's like, with the boat, where he's talking about all the men in the water and the sharks circling. And she was like, are they metaphors? It's like,
Maybe
I bet you there's lots of things written about that, but
yeah,
I hadn't thought about it.
I think in that particular moment, they're metaphors for sharks, I think.
Yes, the shark is sharks.
But the big shark, old Bruce,
Yes.
It's a penis, it's a vagina, it's capitalism, it's
Yeah.
communism, it's anything you could possibly want to
Wow.
put on that
Communism.
thing.
Communism, interesting. Oh, because it's trying to defeat capitalism. Oh, that's quality university ideas, that one. It's trying to defeat capitalism, or it represents capitalism because capitalism will destroy people. Yeah, great. I like it. That
Could
works.
be, yeah. Well, it could be Gough Whitlam because it wants to ruin everything. I don't know.
Could be Harold Holt. That'd be easier. Yeah, it's the movie of metaphors, I'm guessing. Yeah, I think the metaphor is that, you know, they brought evil into the world by sending the bomb, didn't they? And
Yes.
so
Yeah.
they sort
True.
of got what
That's a
they
good one.
deserved. Yeah, I
That's
don't
a
know.
good one. But it also ended the war as well.
Yeah, that's a tricky one. They should have just
But yeah.
thrown sharks at them or something. I don't know.
No, I just. Yes, I was. I just hit on something too when you're talking metaphors, and I can't remember what it was. Something about World War II. No, it's gone. Oh well, if I remember it, I'll shout it out.
You're trying to find the metaphors in Revenge of the Nerds?
Well, it's easy. It could be a penis. It could be a vagina. It could be
That's
capitalism.
true. Communism. Yeah, you're right there. Yep. Could be John Goodman. Yeah, exactly right. All right. So I wanted to have a chat to you about also the oddness of having a 50-year-old brother, because about a month ago, I'm guessing, a couple of weeks ago, our oldest brother turned 50, And yeah, now we have a 50-year-old brother. We got to see each other for, what do you reckon, an hour?
Yeah, about that.
Yep. So he had a party on the Saturday night that we went up to with the girls, and you flew in on the Sunday morning, got to mum and dad's. We were packing up, said hello, said goodbye, and off we went. Yeah, in that hour, our wonderful father took some terrible photos of us.
Can't possibly, I couldn't get a decent photo no matter what.
No. No, but he didn't tell us he was taking photos. He said, all right, come on, we'll take some photos. Everyone stand looking directly into the sun. He couldn't see his phone because the glare from the sun meant he couldn't see what he was taking a photo of. He couldn't focus the camera because he didn't know what he was taking a photo of because he couldn't see it. He didn't tell us when he was taking the photo.
All 10 fingers were operating independently of
each
other.
Right. He didn't tell us he was taking the photo. So there's lots of photos of people not even looking or about to move or blurry. And the ones he did take, yeah, out of focus. And, yeah, great. As always, just sending anyone to do the job of taking a photo of the three of us just for mum's benefit.
No. In case she forgets what we all look like.
Yeah, exactly. That's
she
exactly
wants to
right.
Laugh at how fat my tummy's gotten.
Really? Did she bring that up?
No, I don't think she did.
She didn't come and rub it in the morning for good luck or anything like that?
No, all it'd probably do is make it remember how skinny she thinks poor old Emlyn is. So.
Oh, yes. She's got to make, I mean, that's why I thought she might have commented. She does like to comment on everyone, on their appearance. Just, you know, that's the matriarch's job, isn't it? To keep an eye on things like that.
Plant those seeds.
So what is it? What do you think about having a 50-year-old brother? Does it make sense?
I'm waiting for it to hit. I had someone, a friend, a very good friend, whose husband suddenly started fake tanning when he turned 50. And
oh, that's exciting.
It's just, yes, and that's now all fallen in a heap, unfortunately for her. But yes, I'm sort of looking forward or waiting for some sort of crisis to hit. But if all it does is it means you look more like a hobo, like our 50-year-old brother now does, then fine, it's all good for me. I remember when Dad turned 50 and when he turned 40, and to think about it like that, it just seems so ridiculous and funny.
Yeah. How so?
I don't know. It's just Dad was only, look at you, remember Dad was 50. We went to had fish and chips at the wharf and Wigo was there, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's now Michael's that age. And it's just, I don't know, it's ridiculous, I guess. It's so ridiculous, I find it funny.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It doesn't make logical sense. You can't rationalize it in your brain, right? Of like,
yeah,
they're not the same thing.
Yeah, it's very strange. I mean, I've always thought that anyone can be a parent, but how can you be an adult? Because your parents are the adults.
Right. Yes.
And that might have something to do with it, but it's still Mick. He's even though he's 50 and he's a snowman.
He's all still bearded up.
The same Mick.
Yeah, it's odd, isn't it? It's a very strange thing, and it's strange to see all of his friends again, like who were there, who again we knew when they were in their teens or early 20s.
Yeah,
it just I don't know, and they're always the same amount of years older than you, so it doesn't. I don't know. You're all aging together, like on the same conveyor belt, I guess. So it's not jarring. Like, oh my god, you got old. It's
so am I.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, oh no, you're the same. You're the right years older than me. But yeah, it is weird, especially the 50. 40, I think I was 10. So when Dad turned 40, and I remember it vaguely, I remember he had a couple of parties, but I don't really remember anything about that. And 50th, yeah, was just, oh, we're just going out for lunch, and that was it.
Yeah.
And I guess in our heads, he was like really old. Like, oh, he's an old man now.
He was really old when he turned 40, and he got
he had
one party with all his friends, and that was a really messy one.
Yeah,
lots of fun because we were playing Spotlight out in the street, and most of the people on the street were there.
Yeah, that's right.
And our
yes.
houses down on either side, so
Yeah.
the street was
Yeah.
ours.
That's
And
right.
then he had the family one, I think, the next week, which was a little bit more subdued. And I always thought Mum deliberately got bitten on the face by a white-tailed spider so she could go to hospital and not have to deal with it.
Yeah, well, that is the rumor, isn't it? That she caught a spider and shoved it in her eyeball so she could get a
cellulite, if
weird
I believe it
infection.
was. Yes,
Something
cellulite, if
weird.
I believed it was. But I always wondered why she always had a vendetta against white-tailed spiders. And I always
Ah.
suspected that was probably it, but I don't think that that's what caused the eye problem.
Well, then she wasn't there for the family gathering. And so
Well, there you go.
I wonder if she sat up all night just tossing and turning, wondering,
How much
with
fun he's
the,
having.
the senses, the spider senses, so to speak, of her. And oh, I bet, oh, I can hear this noise. Or no, don't, don't use that plate. That's a good plate.
Someone go and rescue my father from behind the shed, please.
Oh, God, yeah. Far out. But yeah, so the 40th, no, I don't really remember or have a concept of it, but the 50th, yeah. And it is that age, like I'm 45. And so dad was, he might have been playing cricket then. And that doesn't make sense because it just seemed like, no, he was too old, way too old to be doing anything. But it's,
Oh yeah,
yes.
like then you're probably the same if you're out kicking a ball or something and you chase it, like I'm chasing the boys around the park with the dogs,
Yeah.
and you can't go as fast for as far, but you sort of think, yeah, I should probably just walk from now on.
Yes. Yeah, like I jog. I do long distance running because any I just don't want to sprint and I don't want to have to change direction suddenly
Yes.
because that's going to be a bad time. Sometimes like
Yes,
I'm
I
at when I'm at school and it's like playground duty and kids are like, come and kick the ball with me and I'm like, okay. And then I have to like stretch for 5 minutes
Yes.
before I even do that. And they're like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm going to end up hobbling otherwise.
And while you're kicking the balls, the other kids are breaking into the art
Yeah.
room or something to
Well,
steal
I
the
hope so.
glue
If
and
they
they've distracted you.
if they're clever, then that's what they'll be doing. Yes,
Yeah.
exactly.
I jump on the exercise bike with TV on, do 5 or 10 Ks. Not every day, let's not be silly. Just so the knees aren't getting smashed around as quite as much.
Oh yeah, it's not fun. But anyway, yeah, so 50-year-old brother, it's all very strange. He does look like a hobo. He but it is odd, right? It's like, oh, well, he's still 4 years older than me, which means I'm how old this year? 46. Well, that doesn't make sense either. That's a misprint. It must be 36.
Yes, it must be misprint, must mean seconds, or
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
don't know.
it's a pretty weird thing to do, like to go to your brother's 50th birthday party. But either way, we'll get there. I wanted to ask you a question about your parenting as well. Both your boys are playing hockey.
Yes.
How do you go as a sporting dad? Because when we grew up, I mean, this is the thing that, again, I think we spoke about it, but it was probably 3 years ago that you're on the podcast, but that Michael and I, we played all the sports. And even the people at the cricket club didn't believe you existed because they only saw the two of us playing sport. But
Oh,
you
yes.
actually had, you could have played lots of sport too. You were quite, talented in sport, quite coordinated as well. Just weren't interested in playing competitively, I'm guessing.
Well,
Is that
I
right?
guess the fact that you and Michael would change the rules to backyard footy to disadvantage me when it was you two versus me probably says that I was probably pretty quick and slippery.
Yes, you were. So do you think in your growing up brain, do you think you're like, no, if I play competitively, they'll say, hang on, he's winning too much. Well, let's
No,
change the rules.
it was simply the case of if you do something wrong, you get yelled at. If you
Right.
do something right, you get yelled at.
Yeah.
And I just wasn't,
I can confirm, yes, that is an
I wasn't
unpleasant.
equipped to be able to deal with that.
Yeah.
And not, so I just hated it. I
Yeah,
just hated all that sort
it's
of stuff.
interesting, I think, with dad especially. I've noticed a bit myself was that the sports that he didn't play, he was less intense with his support, if that makes sense.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure. Although I mean, from all the games and stuff we saw, but I was always digging for worms in the
yeah,
mud.
Digging for worms and looking for lizards and all that stuff.
How Dad was with that sort of stuff, whether he was one of the parents who got carted off every now and then, but I don't really think he was. I could be wrong.
No, I think it was more, I remember playing rugby league when I was younger, and he seemed to be well, because he played rugby league at a fairly decent level on the coast, and I think he was way more invested in that because he played it. We're playing cricket and any other sport, he was always on the, you know, much more subdued, probably because he'd never played it. And I've noticed it a bit the same. Like, I can watch Violet play basketball, and I don't really know how to play. I've watched enough of it, but I don't know how to play, so I'm not that invested. But when Noelle was playing soccer, I found it much harder. I think you can just see what they're doing wrong more easily when you played.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's ultimately like sitting in the passenger seat in the car park and go, there's a spot, there's a spot, there's a spot. Because you've got the time, you can focus on looking for a spot. You don't have to, you're not taking in everything all at once.
Right. Yes, that's right. Yeah. And also, like, you can see what they're doing wrong, but that's because you might have played, you know, 20 years or something like that. Like,
and,
you don't.
And they can't see themselves the way you're watching them at that moment.
No. And also, like, and I've talked to Wigo about this, I think I was a pretty weird kid when it came to sport. Like, I think I was more analytical than certain, because I played with people who were digging for worms while the game was going on, you know, like, but I was always like switched on and trying to work out, you know, tactics when I was 11. That's not, I don't think, particularly normal. But what I was going to ask you was, how are you as a sporting dad when you watch the boys play hockey?
The pinnacle of my coaching was when Milo was a lot younger, and he really didn't want to feel like he didn't feel like going back out there. So I told him, if you go out and pull Pennywise faces at all the other kids, you might scare them away. So he went out there and he actually did it. You could see him pulling weird faces and weird smiles and things. I don't think it made any difference, but it seemed to make him happier anyway.
Why is that boy? He keeps smiling.
I'm a bit too frightened of him. Oh, they've just got a goal. But it's Leo's been getting a bit shitty because the team keeps losing and things. He's a defender. It's like, well, how do you lose? That's the big lesson, is how do you lose?
Yes.
When you lose, how do you deal with it?
Yeah.
And if you lose again, how do you deal with it?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're just there to support them. I'm not the coach, so, and I don't really know what I'm doing. I'd probably say something like, I like the color of your boots, you know, just something like that. But I just usually see how ask how they thought they went, and not really, and if they're shitty about something, we'll just try and talk about it and things. Leo says that the team don't listen and listen to said, so, well, they've got to listen to the coach. If they're not listening to the coach, then it's the coach has to deal with that. So
yeah, right. Yeah, so that's a healthy parent attitude you don't always hear.
Yeah, it's just not worth it. I mean, you're going to damage your kids anyway, so you can at least try and reduce what's going to damage them.
Yeah, in, you know, 30 years, they'll be on a podcast talking about the ways they damaged you, so or you damage them, and you'll be like, oh, okay, that was cool.
But just knowing how to deal with the disappointment of losing, especially if you busted your ass and all that stuff. Or they did have a game that they lost in the last minute. So, you know.
Yeah, it's always a killer, isn't it?
Yeah, you can talk to Poppy, but, you know, how that feels.
Yeah,
it doesn't feel nice. It doesn't last.
No. Well, I think Dad's still carrying the scars of some of his teams losing grand finals. Some for some reason.
Of course he does. It could be the smallest thing.
Yeah, it's built into you.
But I remember leaving where were we? We're at Fergo's, I think, 93 grand final. And leaving, and the people in the house next to them were tanked up and were going for the Broncos. So they all were hooting and hollering and giving us shit when we're getting in the car. And it's like, yeah, well, they're probably still cunts now. That's just probably, you know, that's, I don't understand that sort of shit, you know?
No. No, it's...
So I don't like to foist it on other people. I love having a wager at work with, I don't know, Swans in Richmond or Swans in Geelong. I am more than happy to put in a bet for a six-pack that I'm happy to lose, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think, yeah, I think that's Dad sort of instilled in us, especially me and Michael, playing a lot, was that you don't act like a toss when you lose and you don't act like a toss when you win.
Nice.
And it doesn't, yeah, and it does, you should always, yeah, like that's the idea, right, is not to voice it on other people. But he also, you know, he did pass on this idea of you are going to invest too much of your emotions in other people running around in certain uniforms that you support, which I wish I didn't, but it gets me every time. It doesn't matter how many times I rationalize it.
Yeah.
And then you get, it's hope. Hope and despair.
Yeah.
That's what sports instill in you if you get too into them.
Yes, I suffer from that as well, despite all my, you know, trying to understand it and things. It's all just panic and damage control to not feel that gut-wrenching disappointment and misery when you get hammered.
Yeah, yeah.
That's, even like a few years ago, Swanee's getting smashed by the Cats. It's just like, oh, God, it's just no. It's
Yeah. That was when me and Wigo and Stu and Ellis were all together for the first time in, I don't know, 5 years or something like that. All our families down in Kiama. Yep. And we all got together and we booked it, you know, months in advance. And it just so happened that it was the grand final day. And the Swannies made the grand final and we all got there and all in our red and white. And I think it was Wigo's wife, Lindsay, was like, "So how do you think we'll go?" And we were like, "We think we're going to lose. It may be close, but we may get flogged. We kind of feel like pretenders and blah, blah, blah." And they're like, "Oh, no." And then within like 20 minutes, we were like, "Yep, all right. This is...
Come again next year, lads."
Yeah, this is exactly what we thought, which was kind of good. It was one of those, it wasn't even like trying to reverse jinx and all that stuff. We just had a sense that it was not going to go well. This year, it's going to be a little different. Already, like, oh, God.
If they get hammered, then it's just like, well, you're as well positioned as you possibly
can. That's right. This year is different. I don't like being front runners and favorites. That's even worse.
No,
can't downplay it this year. But, that's, again, like, where does that come from, this sort of investment in people running around in the same outfit? It's just dumb.
Yeah.
But anyway, thanks, Dad.
Sitting there on your fat ass hurling abuse at the greatest athletes in the world.
That's right. That's right, for not reacting in a split second. What about we may have spoken about this last time, but you grew up in a household that was pretty full of trophies. And not many of them were yours. Was that difficult just to have trophies everywhere?
No, certainly not. And I'll tell you why. I got the Lawn Bowls trophy.
You did.
Which I was absolutely horrified with embarrassment about having to go up and get at school.
So,
which I should have just held it up and gone, "That's right, motherfuckers." You know what I mean?
I wish I could call the title that, but anyway, yes.
I would have liked to, have been a bit better comfortable with myself back then. But I also got the Taekwondo trophy.
Oh, yes,
and
that's true.
That had a marble base.
Yes.
So all your guys, you had, most of it was all plastic and things like that. So
and
the
plastic
Taekwondo
and wood,
trophy,
yes, very, very.
Because it had a bit of weight to it.
Yeah.
That was like 5 or 6 worth of your trophies. So
what was the Taekwondo one for? I still remember exactly what it looked like, but what was it for?
The pattern, I think, best pattern display. It was like 1989,
nice.
That would have been. Bloody hell.
Kicking people in the ribs.
Best pattern display, which I wouldn't be able to remember now anyway.
Yeah, nice. And what about, I don't even know if I've ever asked you this, because as you said, you thought anytime anyone asked you about lawn bowls, they were taking the piss. What can you remember? Like, was it just a school competition of lawn bowls, or was it like a
Yeah,
zone
that's right. But
competition, or?
part of the problem was I felt like a complete fraud because
You were the
the
only
one
one in
guy
it? What do you
didn't
mean?
turn up and forfeited.
All right.
It was one of those things where maybe out of 8 games I played like no, it would have been 4 games, I might have played two because of just
Right.
how things had fallen and landed on the in the little thingy. And the person who I the semi-final, I think, I can't remember. Maybe it was David Munro, but he had an off day. So
Oh.
I just felt like a bit of a fraud. So
You won a trophy.
yeah, I know. But I don't know. It's just probably something like that. I was like, oh God, what if they for no one's no it's like when the Dragons won the premiership in 2010 and I'm thinking they're all just gonna say, yeah, only because the Storm's not in it.
Oh,
But they were all
right.
actually very quiet about it. They sort of I felt that was probably the equivalent of my lawn bowls trophy win.
So what year was that? What year of school was that?
Oh, 90, 92, 93, maybe
Right, so
92.
it's like year 10, year 11.
Yeah,
So
year 10.
getting up to receive it in front of the school, is that what ended up happening?
Yeah. And I saw the sports teacher walk in with them both, and I'm like, oh no. At the start of the assembly.
Oh dear.
But I also remember after that doing an environmental quiz, and the winner would get, I think it was a Yossi Yindi CD. And I
Nice.
went to see the teacher who organized it, and she goes to me, "You're the only one who put one in. So do you want your CD now, or shall I give it to you at assembly? I'll have it now. Now, please. Thank you."
Oh wow. You won a Yothu Yindi CD?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Right,
But yeah.
so like getting up in this is a thing that I found in teaching, is that there are many teachers who think the best thing that can ever happen in a student's life is winning an award in front of the school and standing up and getting presented with a trophy or an award, but whatever it is a great accomplishment and a great achievement and a great thing for you. Because they don't understand when a student says, "No, thank you. I don't want that." They don't, they re I've worked with too many teachers who don't understand why you wouldn't want to get up in front of your peers and receive an award.
The less attention that's drawn to me, and the bigger the group, then the better it is.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm stunned that you can be a teacher and not be aware of that. That, no, that's like, especially like high school, all you are trying to do is not be exposed.
Yeah.
Getting back to Revenge of the Nerds, but like it's just avoiding any kind of being out in the open, being exposed, having people know things about you don't want them to know.
Yes.
And then,
Yeah,
yeah,
it's that
up you
goes through
get.
that thing where no one wants to answer anything.
No.
Just leave me alone.
It
And
is.
everyone, there's 30 kids in the room all thinking the same thing.
And it is bizarre because when you if you go into like a kindergarten year one class, they are desperate for the teacher to praise them. They are
Yeah.
desperate to answer. Even year sevens, they just want to do well. They want your attention all the time. They want to, but it happens so quickly where they're just like, "Oh, right, I don't want
Whether
to
that
even."
self-awareness hits them like a ton of bricks or something
Yeah,
around that sort of 14 years old or whatever.
I think. The real issue is, and this is, pop psychology, I think they're just so judgmental at that age. I think you are
Yeah.
so judgmental of everyone. So you just assume I am spending all my time judging everyone, so they are judging me.
Yeah.
And that.
No one gives them the opportunity to even think that I don't want to be in anyone's mind at any given moment.
No, exactly right. I don't, even
Yeah.
though I'm thinking about myself all the time. Like they think about themselves all the time and think about themselves. And then, but they're convinced everyone else is spending their time thinking about them too. Like, oh no. It's that, I heard it described really easily of like the walking into the wrong classroom. You walk in, you're talking to someone, and you go, oh, I'm in this room, and you go in and you walk into the wrong class. And you're in there for like 1.2 seconds, and then you leave, and you just think, oh my God, everyone in there thinks I'm a loser. They're all laughing at me. Because they may have all laughed, and you think,
we all thought you were a loser before you came into the class.
That's right. And then the people in the room laugh and then go back to whatever else they're doing. Yeah. And then if you ask them 2 days later, remember when they walked in the room, they're like, nah. Like, it's just how the intensity, right, of your that internal monologue, I guess.
Yes, and just being fully aware of yourself.
Yes. Well, when does that ease up, do you think? Or when did that ease up for you?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe about 2 years ago.
You must be very tired.
I love the boys because they make you deal with all your little insecurities and things.
Mm-hmm.
I remember playing hide and seek with them, and they were hiding, and I was looking for them, and I heard Leo say, "He's coming. I can hear his creaky feet."
Yes. Yeah, you're cracky, creaky Pete.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, that you're totally exposed to them.
Yeah.
In not a Revenge of the Nerds way either. But yeah,
oh, dear.
All your foibles and everything, they see it.
Yes, they do. And they
don't use it as a weapon until they get to teenagers.
I don't know. See, this is the thing. I'm waiting for it. I've done quite well. It hasn't been weaponized yet. But, you know, I say to Justine all the time, like, I don't know if our girls are the types to weaponize that, but they're definitely the types to already have a list of things, a list of things that when they're together and we're not around, they imitate, make fun of, laugh about. The eye rolls or the, you know, the knowing looks they give each other when you say something and you're like, oh God, that's one thing. That's a thing. There's a thing. Oh God. Yes. Terrible.
Oh, he's at it again.
So why do you reckon it took you so long to get out of that mindset?
Oh yeah. Just the classic combination of anxiety and depression, I think.
Right.
Yeah. Very, very unwell for a very long time.
But
to the point you didn't realize you're unwell until you were a lot less unwell.
So is there a catalyst for you to like address that, or was it someone pointing it out to you, or
a bit of therapy,
yeah,
a bit of medication, in a good sense anyway.
Yeah,
not like sitting there drooling or anything.
No, one flew over the cuckoo's nest. You're
feeling pretty good about yourself drooling. So, been around 2009 to, 2014, 15, 16. I can't really remember.
Yeah.
No, maybe seven, maybe a bit not that long ago. As far as getting a bit of a better handle on things and realizing that your brain can be your best friend, but you actually have to train it to be,
ooh,
rather than just letting it go, which is what I would do.
Yeah, I mean, what is there a thing that, like, it's a bit crappy to say, like breakthrough, but like to make, like you said, you have to train it. Was there something you had to do in particular to train it, or is it just
keep working at it? If it's taking you somewhere you don't want to go, because I used to think, why would my brain think that if it's not true and all that sort of shit?
Yeah, that's exactly right, isn't it?
Excuse me, I don't want to hear that. I'm going to think about boobs instead.
Yeah.
And it's just constant. Bringing your brain back.
All right, Wigo, are you listening to this, Wigo? Are you listening to this? You could have been a doctor. You could have been a psychologist.
You're having an argument in your head with someone, and
yes,
it's like, that's my voice. It's not their voice. It's my voice. What the fuck is it doing that for?
Yeah. Yep.
Shut up.
it's very, that happened way too late, even in my head, was just to realize that. It was like, they haven't actually said any of that. This is what you assume that they're thinking, or they assume they're saying. Yeah, they're dumb. They're like, yep, I remember, and I'm sure I've mentioned on this many times, and but just someone pointing out, like, to ask yourself two questions of like, am I really annoyed? And do I actually think what I'm thinking? Like, it's they're just simple questions of like, oh, I'm really annoyed. And then you go, am I, do I, or do I really care? Am I annoyed and do I care? And so many times you're like, if you stop yourself and say, do I actually care about this thing that I'm getting worked up about? So many times you're like, oh, I don't actually care. Huh.
It's everything else piling on top of it.
Yeah. And it's also like sometimes in a work environment or a family environment, you can sort of get whipped up by other people's cares. And then you actually stop yourself and go, I don't, I'm sort of invested in this for no reason. I don't actually, I literally don't care. So what's the point of that? It's, yeah. Anyway, brains are dumb.
You have to get it quick. You have to get it relatively quickly, though.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
The boys have had their moments, and you know they've got a bit. You know, they have anxiety and stuff, different levels and things. I
Yeah.
said to Milo that if it happens in your head, then it's not real. It's not. You could be thinking about going to school tomorrow, or I've got a test tomorrow. I've got to go to the doctor's, and what the doctor might say, or what might happen at school. But it hasn't actually happened, so it's not actually real.
Yeah.
And Milo said to me, "So when Mummy says no more PlayStation, if I think I've just heard that in my head, then it's not
It's
real."
not real. Clever.
Yeah, he's a James Bond level villain. That one, that's for sure.
Said it's not real when you talk.
Yeah, but
That's how you'll paraphrase it.
yes.
Dad said, when you talk, it's not real.
But yes, it's a lot of hard work,
Yeah.
especially because if decades of just my brain just going and going and running and racing, getting exhausted just doing
Yeah.
nothing.
I remember. I was there.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah. Oh, well, you're all better now.
Yes, all right. I remember mother saying once that, "Oh, you know, you never had all this stuff when I was young."
Yes.
I was like, "Nope, you just had severe alcoholism and domestic abuse. That's what you had."
So we were, I was talking to Michael about this the other day. It was like any times our kids are going through any kind of anxiety or any kind of issues like that, any kind of mental health issues they might be having, we just don't tell the parents. No, we don't need to hear that it's not real and in my day we didn't have this or I don't know. But I don't know, maybe she lives with someone who might benefit for some mental health care as well, but she if she doesn't
I
believe
feel
in it.
it hurts my heart that there was no one there for Poppy. He could have really
Yeah.
done with the help.
Well, he still can. I still think he can. But anyway, we're getting too far down the let's just have a chat about what's wrong with our families. That's for our kids to do with us later in life. But we got to go because we've been here enough. I've actually got to go and pick my daughter up from her job. That's where we're at in life.
Wow.
Yeah. And so we'll wrap it up and say
That's
that's it.
fantastic. Thank you. Say hello to everyone
So
for me.
much Revenge of the Nerds talk.
Yes. Oh, and one last Jules thing.
Yep.
Milo once asked me, "What would happen if I met Pennywise?" And I showed him the clip from Jaws the Revenge. I said, "You're the shark, and Michael Caine is Pennywise." And the shark comes out of the water, and Michael Caine goes, "Oh, shit."
My God. Jaws the
That's what
Revenge.
would happen.
We have to get away from this shark. Let's go to the islands.
Yes. Oh,
Beautiful.
oh dear. Sorry.